Hey guys, I'm Valerie, and this is Crafts, Drafts, and Crime. Today, I am presenting to you alone because I wanted to be able to give this update as soon as possible. So if you haven't already listened to our episode on Brendan Santo, it's only several minutes long. I do recommend taking a listen to that first so you can kind of get the full picture of this. But this update is based on that missing Brendan Santo episode. So for those who did listen, this is just a brief reminder that Brendan was an 18-year-old student who went missing on MSU campus in East Lansing, Michigan. That is not the school that he attended, but it's where several of his friends attended. He was last seen on October 29th, 2021, walking on campus shortly before midnight. The sources for this update are statenews.com, the Brendan Santo Facebook page, change.org, Detroit News, Lansing State Journal, and ABC7. There were no signs of Brendan since he went missing, and investigators and the MSU Police Department were working on how to locate him and where to find him. There were several searches that took place and many, many volunteers that helped get the word out. A private investigator of 26 years named Ryan Robison offered assistance to Brendan's family. He worked on the case for 15 days. He stated that, you know, the MSU police were looking in campus areas of Red Cedar, but Brad Santo, who is Brendan's dad, thought other areas kind of needed to be followed up on. So after discussing all the different scenarios with both of Brendan's parents, Robinson began looking in other areas. He looked at different areas of the Red Cedar River that brought him concern. He found a deadfall in the Clippert Street area. He was looking at the structure and examining the river flow, and he thought that if there was any chance that Brendan was in the river, this is where his body would end up, because there was a log jam. Now, he went and he set up cameras and lights in this insane structure because he was trying to capture as much imagery as possible. And there are logs and branches everywhere, and it's very difficult to get into this specific space because in addition to the log jam, it's also Michigan in the winter. So there is snow, there is ice, and it's very difficult to tread through. He actually went and was chipping ice and found a way to make some of the area suitable for his equipment. So Robison made a timeline based on the foliage of the structure. Apparently, this was an area of interest to the police department also, and they had intentions of going there to remove debris and logs to better see the area. There were certain areas of the Red Cedar River that were identified by either sonar technology or canines that led them to this theory. But additionally, police had cadaver dogs that had led them to an area downstream from this area that Robinson identified, where they believed Brendan had been. So Robinson was looking through footage from his cameras on January the 21st at 11 p.m. when he spotted something in the river that was completely submerged and presumably, very possibly, Brendan's body. He first contacted the Santo family to let them know, and from there he contacted the police and provided to them the pictures and the tip. So the police went and they got into the area and they were able to recover his body. Brendan was identified by dental records, and the body submerged in that area was in fact Brendan Santo. He was about a mile and a half from where he was last seen. There is a change.org petition for better safety on MSU campus and Red Cedar River areas that I will link in the show notes, and I encourage you to please go and sign it. On that change.org petition, it states, and it says this below a picture of a man near where the river is, and it says, quote, "The area this man is standing is located near Yackley Hall on Beale Street, where an approximate 5 to 6 foot accessible opening exists with no fencing along the Red Cedar River. Beyond this opening is not explorable or walkable by humans or animals since it drops quickly to a steep ravine slash river. It is very dangerous with no danger or warning signs near the opening. Furthermore, the opening is located next to a crosswalk, which invites pedestrians to cross and then go left to the sidewalk over the bridge. But why is this open? At night, you may not know that beyond this opening is a huge drop-off down to the Red Cedar River. MSU needs to put up barriers, lighting, and signage in place to prevent any further tragedies along the Red Cedar River and the ravine. Let's make MSU a safer place in memory of our beloved Brendan Santo. Brendan's aunt, Dawn Brewer, said on the Brendan Santo Facebook page, quote, "This is not the outcome any of us wanted or anticipated, but we did accomplish bringing Brendan home. The full story is not yet known, and there are still many questions. We may never know exactly what happened, but we no longer have to wonder where Brendan is." Brendan's autopsy is going to take several weeks to be completed, and it's unknown whether or not this information will be public when it is released. But as of right now, it is thought that this tragedy was likely an accident based on the conditions of the area. Temporary fencing has been put up already, and more permanent safety precautions are being discussed. Additionally, more cameras have been installed on the MSU campus that will actually be functioning. Though our hearts break for Brendan and for the Santo family, we are relieved that he has at least been found and is no longer a missing person. So please take the time to click on that change.org link and sign that petition so that we can get the safety increased at MSU and Red Cedar River. Thank you guys so much for listening. And if you want to see any more of our information, you can check out our website at craftsdraftsandcrime.com. So until next time. Bye.